Hi, and welcome to the Salvation Army Southwest podcast. You'll find engaging messages here, so please go ahead and listen and check out some of our other messages and enjoy what you hear. You can always follow us online on our Facebook page or go to our website to find out more information. Thank you for listening.
If you're joining us online, a very special welcome to you, and we love being able to stream all over the world. And we are now a church without walls, I suppose. A lot of people join us, and we still get anywhere from 300 to 400 views of our church service every week. And so that's an impressive amount of people keying in and checking out. And special welcomes to Mel, who watches quite regularly from Bunbury, and to Maureen in Canada, who watches actually via YouTube, and she catches up with the sermons that way. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get into what God has for us today. Actually, I'm going to pray, then we're going to have the video of the memory verse that we've got, which is the Acts 4:13, and then we're going to get into what God has got for us today. Father God, we come before you and we acknowledge that you are the maker of heaven and earth. You're the one who can do all things, and nothing, absolutely nothing, is impossible for you. You have no rival, you have no equal, no one even comes close to you. Nothing compares to you. So as we open your word today, speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, let us receive directly from you. Open our spirits and speak directly into our spirits too. Speak through me in the name that we can be saved, the only name that humankind can be saved in, Jesus Christ, our Lord and King. Amen. Enjoying the Bold series so far, show hands. Oh, excellent. I'm glad. Are you getting a lot out of it? Oh, that's good. I've heard stories of people just boldly sharing their faith. And it's been exciting to hear those stories. I've heard stories of people who made bold moves for God and done something and stepped out for God. And that's been absolutely awesome too. But the best news of all, and you guys better be ready to clear and cheer and clap for this, right? Are you ready to click, cheer and clap? Right? Two people this week took the bold steps and asked God to be their Lord and Savior of their lives. Isn't that exciting? Yeah. It's exciting stuff. It's exciting. That gets me excited when people give their lives to Jesus. And that's what the church is for people to get to know this great God of ours, is it not? It's to get to go the great God of ours. So we are in this series, and I'm just loving what God is doing through our church and what's been happening in it. And we've seen just new initiatives start. We've seen new things go on. It's just been so exciting to watch. But this week, we're going to get to a new type of bold. And we did bold prayers, if you remember, week one. Week two, we did bold moves for God, making bold moves for God. This week, we're going to go back to the story we started in Acts chapter 4, but we're actually going to go to Acts chapter 5, and we're going to look at the subject, bold obedience. Bold obedience. Now, if you're who's a rebel by heart, by nature? Who's a rule keeper? The rule keepers are going to enjoy today. The rebels are going to probably struggle a little bit, but it is, I'm telling you, this is the most practical and this is the most valuable of the sermons in this series. And so we're going to get into this, but who knows here that God is always speaking to us? Yeah? God is always, he's constantly speaking. He's constantly saying things to us. He's constantly telling us stuff. He's constantly telling us who we are in Jesus Christ. Is he not? Right, he's constantly talking. And the question for us is, are we listening? And if we are listening, are we obeying? Because listening is one thing, and obeying is something else, isn't it? Totally different. So right off the bat, I want to start with this big idea. When we walk in bold obedience to God, we walk in the blessings of God. Okay, three amens. I'm glad that you guys are here. When we walk in bold obedience to God, we walk in the blessings of God. This is what it says. I haven't got these up on the screen, but this is what it says. Isaiah 1:19, if you take notes, just write that down. It says, if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. In other words, you'll be blessed. Jesus himself in Luke 11:28 said, blessed rather are those who hear the word and keep it and do it. Right? Church, when we walk in bold obedience with God, we walk in the blessings of God. And my kids get this all too well. They understand this principle. See, when they walk in obedience to dad, when my kids do that, they get treated a little better. They get extra stuff. When they walk in obedience to dad, they get a little bit more stuff. I take them through McDonald's. I treat them. I kind of let them off the little thing when they walk in obedience to dad. But when they don't walk in obedience to dad, they get nothing. But my kids get the concept. And now I'm not saying that God is like me and deprives us of us all. Like, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is when we walk in obedience to God, there is blessings. And I don't know about you, but I want to walk in the fullness that God has for me. Do you not? In the fullness that God has for me. So we're going back to that scripture and those two characters, Peter and John, and see how they're walking in the blessing of God and the bold obedience they have to God. And I'll show you just how bold their obedience is. So if you've got your Bibles, Acts chapter 5 is where we're going. Acts chapter 5. We're going to start at verse 17. Are you ready? Ready? Can you all, ready?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Verse 17. Then the high priest and all his associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. Now, if you have been here for the last 2 weeks, you know we started this story looking at Peter and John. It really starts in chapter 3, where they heal that guy who's a cripple. Remember that we talked about that last couple of weeks? You know, the guy's a cripple, 40 years. Peter and John come along. He asks for some money. Peter and John said, we don't have any money. Silver and gold do I have none. But what I have giveth thee in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. And he was walking and leaping and praising God, right? So this is still this story. And it's continuing, right? And so they get thrown into prison for the night. They get pulled in front of the Sanhedrin. They let him go with stern warning saying, don't talk about Jesus. But they turn around and say at the end of chapter, in the middle of chapter 4, we got to obey what God tells us to do. Right? And so they kind of do this, and they boldly preach the word of God to everyone around. And they pray when they meet up with the rest of the Christians saying, make us bold. Remember we looked at that at week one? Make us bold. Make me bold. Say bold.
Bold.
You see, when they did that, thousands of people started to follow, started to get interested in Jesus, started to see him for who he was, the Son of God. And they were listening and hanging off every word that Peter was saying. And in Acts chapter 5 verse 12, people were actually dragging the sick and the lame out. And they were laying them on the ground and hoping that Peter and John's shadow, or Peter's shadow, would actually pass over them. Because they believed that if his shadow passed over the sick, they would be healed. That's how much the signs and wonders were being done, right, through Peter and through John at this point. And this is what they prayed for, that God would actually give them signs and wonders and boldness in all of this space. And then we read this, verse 18. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. Which brings me to my first point today and what I want to talk about bold obedience. And if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. If you're not taking notes, write this down. Right? Just write this down. I don't care where you put it. Just write this down. Bold obedience often triggers opposition. Bold obedience often triggers opposition. And over in the book of Acts, we see this theme of boldness, being bold. But the other big theme in the book of Acts is actually this opposition that comes up against the people of God and the early church. And it's because we don't just live in a physical world. We live in a spiritual world as well, right? And in the spiritual realms, there's a war going on. There's a heavenly war going on against good and evil, right? There's this big war going on, and we're part of it whether you like it or not. And when we start to partner with God, when we start to be obedient to God, when we start to do the things that God wants us to do and take bold moves for God and make bold prayers for God and start to do some of this stuff, then you can bet your bottom dollar that the enemy's going to come up and try and take you out. Yeah? We live in a world that we have this spiritual battling going on. The enemy wants to come and steal, kill and destroy. Wants to take you out and stop you from being bold with God. And if you're keeping track of this story and you've been reading it a little bit, you know that this is the second time these guys have been put in prison in two chapters. Twice in prison in two chapters. Now, in our day and age, we would think that was unfair. These guys are just speaking about God. Where's freedom of speech? Like, why can't they speak about God? These guys were thrown in prison twice for it. And part of it is because in our world, we think it's unfair that that should happen. And then we start to think things like, well, if I've given my heart to Jesus and I'm following God and I'm turning up to church and I'm giving a tithe in the offering and I'm doing all the right things and attending a Bible study, that I'm never going to have a trial in my life. That everything is going to be smooth sailing. It's just not true. It's not true. If you know the parable of the story, I don't have this in my notes, but if you know the parable of the story about the, you know, the wise builder who builds his house on the rock, the wind and rain comes along and it stands. But the one who builds it on the sand, on uncertainty stuff, that actually wipes away and the whole house goes. There is still wind and storm in both scenarios. Whether we give our lives to Jesus and we praise him and walk in his way or not, then we're still going to have trials and tribulations in our lives. Right? It's just going to be what it is going to be. The difference is we can weather the storms and we can weather that opposition because we have a God who has a firm foundation to which we stand on. Amen? Amen. Amen. Like this is the bold obedience will bring and we should expect. It often triggers opposition. And I would actually question, if you've not had a lot of opposition in your walk with Jesus, maybe it's time to shift something in your life. Do something that might create some. But there isn't all doom and gloom. Don't worry. It's not just doom and gloom. The good news is this. The bold experience also gives us opportunities to see God's miracle at work in our world. Yeah? Bold obedience gives us an opportunity to see God's miracle at work in our world. Verse 19. Don't miss this, right? Don't miss this. I'm going to read it out for you. Don't miss what's going on. Verse 19. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Let me read it again for you. During the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Now, this is Luke writing. We know Luke's a doctor. If this was me writing this, right? If this was me, I'd be like, can you believe what just, you're not going to believe this. There's this big angel that's 10 foot tall with his flaming sword that's come along, busted the doors open and led us straight out. But instead, Luke just goes, but during the night, an angel of the Lord opens the doors in the jail and brought them out. Like, there's not even an exclamation point at the end of that sentence. Like, I would be freaking out. I'd be like, whoa! Luke just simply writes, during the night, and kind of thing. There's no build-up. There's no explanation. There's no, because he's expecting God to do these things. Does that make sense? He's seen enough. He knows enough about God now to go, I don't need to actually harp on that because God can do all this stuff. And there's that firm belief, firm thing that just goes, God's miracles are going to happen. So he just kind of tucks it in there. An angel just came and let us out. Right? Bold obedience to God should actually, we should expect to see great signs and wonders happen. Right? Now, I personally have not seen an angel. It's on my bucket list. I really do want to see one before I leave this earth. Right? I really do. I am married to an angel. But when we speak boldly for God, when we pray bold prayers for God, we should expect big things. We should expect God to do something. Because if we're praying to a God who is infinitely more than we could ever ask or imagine, who could do all things regardless of what our mind thinks we can be done or can't be done, then we should know that if we're obedient to him and living in his blessings, that he's going to do some crazy, crazy stuff. Yeah? Yeah. Crazy stuff. Bold obedience gives us an opportunity or opportunities to see God's miracles at work in this world. The third thing I want you to kind of capture as we talk about bold obedience, and I'm teaching a bit today, and I'll get back to preaching properly next week, but I want to teach a little bit today because this is so vital, is bold obedience always, say always, always requires faith. Always requires faith. Verse 20, go stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people all about this new life. Now, normally I would say I love this because I love the word of God, and you know, you hear me go, I love this, and then I explain it out. I don't love this one. I don't. And I'll tell you why. You see, an angel comes to Peter and John, busts them out of prison, and then says to them, you know, the very thing that's landed you in prison twice now, I want you to go into the temple courts and do that exact same thing again. I don't know. Like, this takes some bold faith, right? Right? Angel comes, busts you out of prison, then says, go do the very thing that landed you in prison to start with. Actually, twice now. Go do that. Like, don't worry about the Sanhedrin. Don't worry if you're going to get killed because they had the power to kill him. Don't worry about getting locked up in prison. Just go back out to the temple courts and preach again. Right? Preach again. Go do that again. And every time I kind of read this, I go, wow, that's some bold faith right there. Is it? Is it not? Like you kind of know what's going to happen. Like, oh, well, I've done this twice and I've landed in prison twice. Kind of the expected result, if I go and preach in the temple court again, is going to be that I get locked up in prison again. Right? Go do that very same thing. And then in Acts 5:21, it says this, at daybreak, they entered the temple courts as they had been told and began to teach the people. Bold obedience always requires bold faith. Always requires faith. And for some of us, we know what God is calling us to do. And for some of us, we know the promptings of God. We know what he wants us to do. We just haven't done it. We haven't. God's prompted, and we haven't been obedient. Because we go, well, what if this happens? I know this story already. I've done this twice. If I do this again, I'm going to get locked up in prison. We know what's going to happen. And then we get paralyzed, either by fear of what we think could happen, or we don't do it because we are actually fearful because we don't know what will happen. Does that make sense? So we either know too much or we know too little. And so we don't step out in faith. And bold obedience requires faith. And yet we're not obedient. We're disobedient because we don't do what God has told us to do. Uncertainty, playing it safe. And this whole series so far has been designed and written in such a way and hopefully presented in such a way that to help us be bold as lions, to be so bold for God that we just step out and then we start to see God do some signs and wonders and the miraculous around us, that we get that bold. But the feeling of uncertainty and not seeing the path in front of us, that's scary. You know the scripture, the word is a light unto my path, a lamp unto my feet. You know that one? Sometimes lamps at your feet only highlight the next step. And I could tell you, I don't know if I should tell you this or not, but I could tell you, right, if God had to show me everything my officership would have looked like on day one, I'm not sure I would have gone the journey. And if God showed you everything that he wants you to do and where you're going to end up, I'm not sure you would take that journey either. But instead, he takes us a step at a time that requires faith, and a step at a time that requires faith, and a step at a time, not knowing what we're going to happen. And I get it. I get feeling fearful of what could happen or fearful of the unknown. I get it. And one of my favourite quotes and one of my favourite things that I've read about and I've looked at, and I've looked at this years and years and years ago, and I was remembered about it as I was doing this sermon, was that this quote here: outcome is God's responsibility. Obedience is ours. Yeah? Outcome is God's responsibility. Obedience is ours. And when we're faced with a situation that we don't know, our sole responsibility is just to obey what God tells us to do. Outcome is His responsibility. And He is always going to do an outcome that best glorifies Him, not us. Yeah? It's always going to be an outcome that glorifies Him, not us. Outcome is God's responsibility. Obedience is ours. But I want to encourage you today, church. Where's my water? I need some water. I want to encourage you today because I want to show you just something really, really cool from my life and from Zoe's life. It's this idea here. We don't know, you and I don't know, what a single act of obedience to God will lead to. We don't. We don't know what a single act of obedience to God will lead to. In January of 2017, so cast your mind back before COVID, in BC time, before COVID times, in 2017, one night I had a dream. Now, what's unusual about this is I don't remember dreams. I'm pretty sure I would dream, but I normally wake up and it's gone. Like, I don't remember them. To this day, I remember this dream. And I wake up that morning and I remember this dream so vividly. And I remember the picture so vividly that I saw in this day in January 2017. And for a couple of days, I sat on it thinking, did I have too much chili the night before? Like, what's going on? You know, why am I remembering? But I felt God telling me that I needed to speak to the state leader about this dream. Right? You keeping up with me? Right? And so I talked to Zoe because it was going to affect her too. And then we rang the state leader at the time. And I explained the dream to him. And I said, look, I believe God wants us to move from where we are and become the core officers of the Southwest Salvos. The fact that we are here is because God actually said, come here, and we said, yes, Lord. 2017, I said, we had this conversation with the divisional commander, the state leader at the time, heard nothing back. For about 9 months, we heard nothing, right? Nothing. And then in September 2017, because of a single act of obedience and saying to God, yes, I'm going to ring the state leader and do what you want me to do. That single little act of obedience has got us to be the core officers here. Because in 2018, we were appointed as the core officers of Bunbury Salvos. But it wasn't the full dream. The full dream was the Southwest, Busselton included. And then all of a sudden, you know, I think it was about 9 or 10 months later, we were given Busselton as well to look after. See, God knew what He was doing. That was His outcome. My outcome was just the obedience part. I just had to make a phone call. A single act, we don't know what a single act of obedience, where that will lead to. We just don't know. And because of that word, and because we were faithful and said, yes, God, we will do that, we moved 900 kilometres from Kalgoorlie down to Bunbury to be the core officers of one of the greatest churches in all of Australia. Amen? I get the keys to come up, but we never know what a single act of obedience will actually lead to. Since we've got here, we've changed the jumble sheds and they've now become a thrift shop that earns four times the amount. 5 years today, there you go. Four times the amount it used to bring in, which means now that this church is financial for the first time in bucket loads of years, umpteen years, right? We've renovated this place. We've renovated Busselton. We've seen tiny houses in partnership with other agencies built on this block. We've seen the Harvey Salvo store, which was going to be closed down, saved, rescued, brought into the network, and now making money, right? We now have a 12-seater van that we can do ministry and mission out of. We built a youth shed. Well, we converted it. And it's now for the youth, for our young people in our town, so that we can share with them. Our Busselton and thrift shop sales have gone through the roof. We've run out of office space because we have too many workers in this building now. Isn't that good news? We've run out of office space. We're having to look at how to build more office spaces. Like we rescue more than $100,000 worth of bread a year to give to our community, right? We have a new van, hopefully coming this week, to replace our old dodgy van. We started live streaming so that we could pump the messages out to all over the world. We started small groups and studies and drop-in toasty centres, and Busselton have been seeing sometimes over 30 people rock up for toasties and stuff. Like, this is just amazing stuff. We've seen people give their hearts to Jesus Christ and make Him the Lord and Saviour of their life. We've seen bold prayers answered. I have a sign in my office, and I wish I brought it out now, that says, whatever you're thinking, think bigger, because our God can do it. Zoe and I, as I said, now the captains of this beautiful network, this greatest network in all of Australia. And this is just a few of the things that I could jot down really quickly. And it hasn't been smooth sailing all the time. And it hasn't had its bumps in the road. But God is faithful and has got us through. And because of a single act of obedience, we were here to see it all happen. I would hate to think what would have happened if I didn't make that phone call and Zoe didn't make that phone call with us. Now, don't get me wrong, God would have raised someone else up to do it, because God does what God does. But because of a single act of obedience, we've seen this all happen. And I don't know if I'm allowed to say this or not, so we'll just say it anyway. We're all friends. Don't tell anyone. But Zoe and I had a conversation this week that pretty much cemented us in for another 3 years here. Don't tell anyone. We'll take that out of a live recording later. And for me, this is me, right? For me, none of this would have happened unless I was obedient to God saying, make the phone call. No. Catch up. We're here for another 3 years. Church, we don't know. We don't know. At least that's the plan at this stage. We don't know what a single act of obedience will lead to. And I just want to encourage you today, have bold obedience for Jesus. Yeah? Yeah? Say yes to Him. Say yes to Him. Every time He asks you to do something, just when you feel the prompting, just say yes. Just say yes. Don't think, is this the devil? Is this the enemy? Is it? Just say yes. You know it's going to line up with scriptures, that it's definitely from God, right? Because you don't want to miss anything out. Do you want to miss anything out from God? Do you want to be used by God? Then we need to say yes and be obedient to Him. You know, I know the best is yet to come. I know that God has more in store for the Southwest Salvos. I know that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. I know that if we're not dead, God's not done. And if we're not dead, God's not done. I know that the gates of hell will not shake us from where we're at. Amen? I know that if God is for us, nothing can stand against us. And if we are with God and we're obedient to God, we're going to see signs and wonders happen. And we do all the time. We see signs and wonders happen all the time. But it starts with saying yes to God. It's a yes to God. At the back, Jay's got them this week. I have my cards again. You remember giving cards out last 3 weeks in a row. And this card simply says, my bold obedience, what I'm going to say yes to. It's on the card. And then there's a line for you to write what that is. Because some of us may not have said yes and been obedient. Some of us may not have been. I'm challenging you this week to be obedient, to live in the blessings that God has for us. Father, today we just want to thank you for the example of Peter and John and their bold obedience to the word and to your leading. Help us to be obedient to your prompting. Help us to hear your prompting and be obedient to your prompting, even if we don't know the outcome, even if we don't know how it's going to end. We just want to be obedient to you, whatever that is. And I'm pretty sure we're not going to get locked in jail for it. But we want to be bold enough that if that was going to happen, we'd do it anyway, because you tell us it has to happen. So Lord, thank you. Thank you for this example, and help us to walk boldly in obedience to your leading and walk in the blessings that you have for us. Make us bold and help us to say yes to you. Amen. Did you enjoy that?
Yes.
Was it helpful? Yes. Great. Let's get the singers up. We're going to sing because we have a testimony today, and I'm praying that you are bold this week. When God leads you to share your faith, when God leads you to make a phone call, when God leads you to do something, whatever that is, that you just say yes to Him. We have a testimony because we've been brought back from death to life, have we not?
Yes.
We've been brought from death to life, and we have a testimony now that we could share with people around us. Let's be bold for Him. Let's sing My Testimony.